Second Peter 2 and verse 6. Dakota, you want? Does anyone need a text that I have one up here? Margaret, you don't get another one.
I just put Margaret giving it back to you.
I only have one with me.
Okay. Under her then.
All right. 2 Peter 2 and verse 6. From 2 Peter 2 and verse 1 onward.
Now you have your own copy, sir.
From 2 Peter 2 and verse 1, the Lord starts nailing sins. Remember when we studied the book of Jude? Mm-hmm. Guess what the second chapter of the book of 2 Peter is? Almost the book of Jude read over again. Because you read the book of Jude and then read 2 Peter, the second chapter, and you're going to see a lot of similarity. So what we preached in the book of Jude, and those of you that weren't here, you're going to get it. Because Jude and Peter are both going to lay it on you. But it wasn't Jude and Peter that actually wrote it first. Who was it?
Enoch.
All right. If you want to know what Enoch preached about here, you have it right here. If you want to read the book of Enoch, just go to discovertheword.com, and there's a place on there that you can read the book of Enoch. You can even copy it off of my website. And it's been doing fantastic. That website is, how many people a day? 1,100 people a day are checking into that website right now. And 104 people, I think it was, are listening to tapes every day. 114. Now, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people that are hearing the Word of God. I thank God for that. Boy, what a witness. And, of course, they're transmitting our classes 24 hours a day in Idaho now on FM radio, and they're going all over the world too, in other places, on other radio stations and everything. I don't even know how many places that they're transmitting, but the Lord is really blessing our efforts, and you're on that. A few weeks from now, they'll hear your little voices out there in radio land and someplace in the world and on the website. So you're all taking part in this. It talks about liars. It talks about people that are greedy, and it says hell is, the jaws of hell has its mouth open, and hell is waiting for those that will not lay aside these sins. The grip of the chains of sin are horrible. Did you know that? How many of you ever got in contact with a skunk? I was talking to a guy on the radio the other morning, and his dog got out there, and we went out in the yard, and his dog was raising Cain, and right out the yard was this striped cat that smelled real bad, and it was right in the armored position. Anyway, he said it smelled bad for weeks. You know what? Sin in our lives. Sin takes you to hell. Did you know that? Sin takes you to hell. Chained. Sin. Now, we talked about covetousness in here. We talked about angels that had sinned. God didn't let them get by with it. What God is talking here about in 2 Peter is that sin will take you to hell. Whether you're a man, whether you're a spirit, or whether you're an angel, the results of sin are eternal death, the second death, the one that you die forever. You don't go out of existence. I was talking to a guy on the radio, I think last night, and he came up with the word asbestos. Asbestos. You know what that word means in Greek? That's hellfire. And it's the hellfire that the person that's in hell never burns up. You don't burn up. You don't go away. You don't disintegrate. You stay there and you burn forever and you suffer forever. You know, since this operation, July the 9th, I have been in nearly constant pain. Sometimes it gets a lot worse than other times. But you know, sooner or later, it's going to go away, I hope. But in hell, those pains never go away. There is no reprieve. There's no painkillers. There's nothing there. It is eternal. Okay? Now let's look and see the things that are going to take you to hell. What kind of chains do you have on you today that take you to hell? Greed? Rebellion? Well, we talk in verse 2 and 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, it talked about angels of sin. In 2 and verse 5, it talked about Noah's generation. And they would not listen to the preacher. This bunch of people lived for a long time back then. Did you know that? How long did Noah live? In excess of 900 real years, people. Now, the last 120 years that Noah was on the earth with the other people around him, while he was building the ark, he preached for 120 years. But we find out from the book of Enoch and the book of Jude and the book of 2 Peter that Enoch preached for how long? About 300 years. So we have a cumulative total of how much? 420 years that these people in that generation heard the gospel and heard God preaching against sin. What kind of sins did they preach against?
Immoral sin.
What is immorality? It's the opposite of morality, isn't it? It means no morals. The Bible gives you some moral structure, doesn't it? Well, you shouldn't run around fornicating with other people, or you shouldn't... there's all kinds of following. You know, pornography. You know, it's in God's churches. Did you know that? That comes from the Greek word pornarion, which means prostitute. It means to take that which is natural and twist it up and turn it into wrong. Gambling. You know what gambling is? What's the sin of gambling? It was in 2 and verse 1 and 2 and 3. Three verses to that one. It's greed. Mm-hmm. It's greed. Now, in this ancient world here, we have immorality. We have people that step out aside of the bounds. You know, sexuality was created by God. Marriage was created by God. God married the first couple. None of that is wrong. But outside of marriage, it is wrong. God set standards for sexuality. And that's where we're going to get tonight. I mean, he's coming. God is the inspirer of this word now. Okay? 2 and verse 6. Sins that chain us all the way to the gaping jaws of hell. What can bring, what can get you into hell? How do you go to hell? Because you want to. The Lord paid the price. But you know something? You don't get the price unless you repent of your sins and ask the Lord to forgive you. Now let's look and see some of the other sins that are going to carry people to hell. Kai, Polis, Sodomon, Kai, Gomorrah, Tethrosas, and then there's a word in parenthesis here, it is catastrophe. It's also the English word, catastrophe. And then Karak, Krenain, Hippodegma, Melontone, Asi Be Sin, and then Tethekos. Now let's look at this word. Kai, Pole, Sedoma, Kai, Gomaras, Tethrosos, Catastrophe, kata krinane hypo degma meloton ase basin and then tasekos. And then it says, and by the way, in here is what we call a practical substantive. It starts off and, because and is a conjunction, isn't it? You can look that one up on page 208 if you want to, in analytical lexicon. And then it said, and the police. Look at that word. Do we have an English word from this?
Huh?
What it is?
The city man.
This book says city.
What?
City.
Yeah, I know that's what it, how it's translated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, it means cities. Policy. But what is the word? If the word is police.
We get policy and police. And
policy, and police. What do the police do? They
enforce.
Watch over, enforce people that live in cities. Okay? That's what the word police comes from. And it says, and the cities of Sodomon, Kai, Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah. We get the word sodomy, sodomite, from this word here. Now someone turned to me, for me, to Jude 7, somebody. Genesis 19 and verse 24, those of you that have Old Testaments. And Jude 7 and verse 15, actually, by the way, two of those two. Isaiah 1 and 9. And Romans 1, 22 through 32. And Romans 9 and 29. These are different verses. Have you got one of those, Brother Ken?
Yeah, 7.
Okay.
Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire.
All right. Now, God said that He sent them to hell forever for what they did there in those cities. What'd they do? Genesis 19 and verse 24. Have you got that one, young lady?
Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens.
All right. Now, it says here in 2 Peter 2 and verse 6, it names two cities. How many cities were there all together, really? Five. Five. By the way, five is a number of grace. Did you know that? Five is a number of grace. How many times did God look over their sin before He judged? Look at the intercession of Abraham that He tried to make for Lot in the place that he lived. There was a problem here. We have a child of God living in an ungodly city. Abraham and Lot, they left from the Ur Chaldees and they went and they dwelled together, but Lot was a thorn in the flesh of Abraham. Now Lot was Abraham's what? Nephew. Alright. And so God caused division to go among their servants. And Lot was greedy. He was material. As a matter of fact, you've never known the man was even saved if the Lord hadn't said in the New Testament that he was even saved. Because he was an ungodly buzzard. As far as we understand, he's the only one saved in his family. His wife wasn't saved, neither one of his daughters. His sons-in-laws, he had no witness in this world at all. All his children were going to hell. His grandchildren. Because he had no witness at all with God. He didn't do anything God's way. He did everything Lot's way. Well, Abraham saw that there was a problem among him and his kinsman. And he said, Lot, I'll tell you what. If you say, I'm going that direction, you go that direction, and you live in that direction. He said, you look over here, you see all of those plains out there, all that beautifully watered thing. Jericho is in this area. And the Dead Sea now. The Dead Sea was not there at that time. Okay? When this happened. This is how the Dead Sea became. They've done movies on the Dead Seas and excavations, and they find out that place was really brought down to hell. I mean, it was rain, fire and brimstone actually rained on this place. My friend Walt West went over there and they did some core drilling, and they drilled down in there a mile deep at the edges of the Dead Sea, and they found pottery that was melted and that was radioactive. A mile deep in the ground. They say there's bones, just bones and bones, just burned up people here. Well, Lot said, smiling all the time. Lot said, Uncle Abraham, I'll just go that way and you go that way then. He went to the green pastures. And he went down to the cities. Now, when God told every man, every civilization, every initial way that God ever dealt with mankind, he said, don't live in cities. Be nomadic, go out and spread out. Live in cities, you're going to have problems. Because you have crime and disease in cities. Crime and disease. Well, Lot went that way. Lot went and pitched his tent and became a judge. Well, he was a lawyer, first of all. That was the first strike against him. You know, they had lawyers back then. They were just about almost as ungodly as they are today. Well, he was a lawyer. And he pitched his tent in the gates of Sodom and Gomorrah. Guess what happened in the gates of Sodom and Gomorrah?
All the government functions.
All the governmental functions, and this is where the courts were held. And guess what Sodom was, or guess what Lot was? He became a judge. There goes the judge. There he was. And evidently he had no witness at all in these places as a Christian, as a child of God, as the spiritual seed of God. He had none. Zilch. Zero. God visited Abraham, and he told Abraham, Abraham, you know, you haven't believed me. You fool around with that girl named Hagar, and she had a baby, and that's going to be a thorn in your flesh from now on, and I told you to kick her out, and she's, you know, or she was going to be kicked out in the future. But he said, I've got real plans for you, but it wasn't with Hagar and with Ishmael. Well, the Lord said, I already have seed. I mean, Abraham said, I already have a seed. It's Ishmael. He said, no, that's the seed of the flesh. You didn't listen to me. He said, this time, a year from now, you're going to have a baby. Sarah's going to have this baby. Because Sarah was the one that was the seed was going to come through. This was the woman, the seed of the woman, remember? Sarah was very, very important in this. Well, and he said, there's something else that I probably ought to tell you, Abraham. I'm going to make a trip. And I'm going to go to the five cities. And I'm going to destroy them because of the sin. The smell, the stink of the sin has risen up to heaven. And I hate it. And Abraham started making intercession. Well, how about if there's 5,000 in that city? That's righteous. Would you destroy him? And said, Lord, and I said, no. He got all the way down to, you know how many? Five. The number of grace. One person per city. Now, if Abraham had been a witness of God, there was Abraham and his wife. And he had two daughters. How many is that?
Four.
And they had two espoused husbands. They were engaged to get married. How many is that? Six. That's a safety factor of one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
Can I get that?
That's how many was saved? Right there. Old Lot and these two daughters is the only thing that left those cities alive. Because Mama even looked back. Because she was a materialist. She had to look back, and she turned to a pillar of salt. That's why there's so much salt in Sodom and in the Dead Sea, is because of lost life. Now, what was taking place in those cities? Genesis, the 19th chapter. What was taking place in those cities?
Immorality.
Immorality. What kind of immorality?
Homosexuality.
Homosexuality. All right. Well, the world has told us today that that's okay. But God says it's not okay. It's wrong. It's twisted. It's crooked. In Romans, the first chapter, someone turn to me, Romans, the first chapter, verses 22 through 32. Now, he said it in the Old Testament, and he said it in the New Testament. And then it says down here, it says, in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, having covered them with ashes, he turned them to ashes, a great catastrophe, that's what the word catastrophe there means. And then it says, he condemned as an eternal example, intending, this eternal example is intending everyone today that wants to live ungodly. And this, it said, this example was placed once and for all forever. God destroyed five cities of people because of this sin. Now go to Romans 1, 22 through 32. Who's got that one? Brother Ken, you're up here.
22 through 32?
Yeah. Kind of read that quickly.
Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of a corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over to the lust of their
hearts. All right, now what happened here now? People don't want to worship God, so their minds are twisted and they begin to worship other things besides God. That's the story right so far. Mm-hmm. And then what happens when these people refuse to hear God?
God gave them over for the lust, to the in the lust of their hearts to impurity.
Okay, impure lust in their hearts. Go ahead.
That their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen.
Wait, hold on right there now. Now, we understand that sexuality is absolute, it's a gift of God, it was a creation of God. It says the marriage bed is undefiled and all of that. That is normal and it's natural and it's good because God made it. But He made it to be within a man, with a man and a woman. In marriage. Between a man and a woman. God created everything you hear. You know, have any of you ever heard of the Garden of Eden? God created everything in the Garden of Eden. He had all these animals out there and everything. And then He created mankind, Adam. Adam, that's the Hebrew word. Alright, it means red, earthy, because he was related to the earth. He didn't come from the earth, but he came from the same elements that the earth was came that he came from, and he lived of the earth. From the elements that he ate kept him alive. Okay? I see some questions in your minds because it says in King James that God created him from the dust of the ground. He did not create him from the dust, but he created him as he created the dust. Man is a primary creation of God. He didn't come from dirt, he came from God. Okay? You got to study Hebrew to get that one. Well, man was out there. This is Adam. Now, evidently, when God created man, he was one person. This is the human race. Adam means the human race. Okay? And then God always wanted man to stay busy. So he said, do something. Name all the animals, Adam. Adam. And here is the human race. And so he looked and he named all the animals. Guess what the animals were doing? How did the animals go into the ark? Pairs. They were procreating, they were mating, and many animals mate for life. Okay? Especially back in this period of time. So guess what Adam has in his heart? What?
He wanted a pair too.
Yeah. Oh, God, if you've made all these animals out here, they're happy. The chickens are running around here, and the little roosters are fanning around the hens, and the baby chickens are running around, and here's a dolphin, and there's a dolphin, and here's an elephant, there's an elephant, and a zebra here, and a zebra there. And if they're being happy and mating together, what about me?
You know, that doesn't, when you think about it, it doesn't occur to me, it just occurred to me to know that it wasn't something that God forgot about, but then that Adam realized the necessity.
That's right. It's real important.
But it says in Genesis that God sent the animals to him for him to find a mate. He couldn't find one.
No, it says it's for him to have a not a mate.
Pick a mate.
Not a mate. It said
a companion
of these animals. Now, what's the one of the best companions that man has ever had?
A dog.
What? A dog. It's better, you know, better than a lot of things. Cats, you know, I mean, they're independent creatures. But dog is the dogs are absolutely loyal creatures. They are. You can beat them up, kick them, and they'll still come home. They're loyal. There's a reason for all that, by the way. Out there in the dog kingdom, there's always an alpha dog and an omega dog, the one who gets beat up all the time, the peck at them. Well, those in your home, if you're not the boss, guess who's going to be the alpha dog? The dog. You're going to mind the dog, and the dog's going to mind you, one or the other. That's the way it goes. That's the way God created them, all right? Well, Adam sees all this, and so he's not happy. So God makes a deep sleep fall upon Adam, and then he says that he took from Adam's sides, plural, not a rib, but his sides, plural. They didn't know what to do when they translated King James, so they said rib. But in Hebrew, it means sides. He took from his sides and formed his sides into Isha. Avam Isha. And here we have Avam Ish and Avam Isha. Human man and human woman. Woman means out of man. That's what woman means. Female means out of man, out of male. Alright? So we have this. Now God, here man was, and he separated mankind so that he would have a mate. Then he'd have a companion better than a lassie. All right? And that he would perfectly fit man and woman together. Man and woman fit together. God made you to fit together. That's right. And every way. That's the creation of God. God did that. Now, and he told them to be fruitful and what? Multiply. All right. Be fruitful and multiply. Well, we find out they were pretty happy. And they did multiply. They were fruitful. And all of you are descendants of Avam Ish and Avam Isha. Ish is man. Human race, mankind, and female are woman out of man. And he put them together. Now that's God's order. But later on, we find homosexuality cropping up. And it is a form of idolatry. Did you know that? Because sex becomes God to you. It becomes a God. It becomes the most important thing to you in your world and your gratification. God made it between man and woman, not between women and women and man. That's wrong. I don't care what they tell you in school or any place else. This is God's word, and I'll trust God above anything because He is our Creator. He is our Creator. All right, now, go on from where you were, brother.
Okay.
Romans.
For this reason, this is verse 26. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For
degrading passions. Why did they give them over to degrading passions? Because they had made sex into a god. No more. All right.
For For the women exchange the natural function for that which is unnatural.
Right.
And in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing incest and indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty for their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to the depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give heartily approval to those who practice them.
Have you ever heard of the gay militants? That's what it's talking about. It happened back in Sodom and Gomorrah. It happened again at the Tower of Babel. It happened at the flood. It is perversion. Perversion means crooked. All right? That's what it's talking about here. Now, God said that I set down an example for this. This example would last forever. Romans 9 and 29. What does it say? What's it say there in Romans 9 and 29?
It is just as Isaiah said previously, unless the Lord Almighty had left us descendants, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah.
God, through His Bible, keeps saying that Sodom and Gomorrah is a type of sin and His hate for that sin. And we have that down in God's Word. He said here, it is an eternal indictment against this practice. We have all of these things. I mean, you know what's right and what's wrong, don't you? I remember one time, Dr. Martin Canavan Jr. He was a rascal. I mean, he was quite a preacher. And he would preach against sin. And he was on the radio up in Corcoran for a long time. He preached up there. And there was one church member that he had, there was a woman, and her husband was a drunk and just immoral, a card player and a gambler and just a mess. He just wasn't going to go God's way. And she would go to church and he'd stay home. Well, somehow or another, the Holy Spirit of God started working on this man. And he just got so mean. I mean, he grumbled and griped, he wouldn't even live with his wife anymore. He was just almost divorcing her out of his life. And he'd set out in his truck and just go around. They had this acreage out there, and he'd just go around dragging telephone poles and stuff behind his truck, just going behind his truck, just dragging and dragging. So he drug all the weeds down. He's dragging the grass, the dirt now. She didn't know what was going on with this guy. She just was having a time with him. Well, Martin Canavan had a radio program where he's preaching. And, this guy was out in the car listening to the radio, listening to Martin Canavan preach. And he was under tremendous conviction. And he was miserable. Horribly miserable. Finally, during the church service, he unhooked the telephone poles and ran the thing on down, the car on down to the church service. Now, when Martin Canavan would go to his house, he would sit there and just make nothing but wisecracks about how terrible the church members were. How ungodly and rascals they were. I saw them down at the bingo parlors. I saw them down at the card rooms with me, and one of them was down there drinking down at the bar, I'm just as good as they are. And about the time that Martin Canavan was giving the invitation there at the end of the church service, and he was listening to the service that was being broadcast live, he ran up there and busted through the doors. I mean, Brother Canavan said, "Hey, I didn't know what was going on here. I didn't want somebody going to come in and rob the church or what." Just boom, and they come running down the aisle and fell down there on the altar, bawling. He went down there and talked to this guy. By the way, this guy became a preacher. They told Martin Cameron he's going to be better than he was. He come down there and he prayed and asked the Lord to save his soul. He said, man, I give it all up. I give it up. I've been holding on to these sins. These sins were taking me to hell. And he said, I give up. Then he got up and he kept coming and he was just like a dog following Brother Canavan around. He said, Dr. Canavan, what am I supposed to do? He looked at him and said, brother, you know what you're supposed to do. It's written in your heart. You already knew it. He said, them ungodly church members we excluded from doing all those things down there with you, he says, don't do like they did. Do exactly what you said you're supposed to do. Quit running around, quit drinking, quit gambling, quit fooling around, and come and serve the Lord. He said, don't tell me you don't know what God wants you to do. You can't go out in the world if you're a child of God and do anything wrong without conviction. Don't lie and tell me you can. Then you're not a child of God. How many of you ever heard of Lewis and Clark? Marilyn, would you please stand up? Please stand up, darling. I'm giving you, you're taking part in this here service here. Now, I want you to look at my wife. My wife is a direct descendant of William Clark. His sister was my wife's great 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 grandmother. Okay, now you can sit down. That's all I need about it. Well, Meriwether Lewis, he had a project that he wanted to take, and you know, they went to the Louisiana Purchase and everything, all the way up the Missouri River to the Rockies, and were going on the other side. And all of the time that they were traveling, Meriwether Lewis carried an iron boat with him. Did you know that? He had an iron boat blacksmith that actually was a frame for an iron boat. And it was collapsible. And they'd been dragging this heavy iron boat frame with them all the way. Finally they got up to the Rockies. And they had time to sit there because they were just worn out going over the falls, the Great Falls and everything else, and they were going to go on the other side and go down the river on the other side, and they thought they could float all the way to the Pacific coast, but they couldn't do it. But he said, well, I want to try out my patented project. He was going to patent this boat. Then they tanned all these elk skins. And he tied them and sewed them all together, and then he put this glue on that was supposed to work forever, you know, like Eveready batteries or something. Mm-hmm. And he put this boat together, and it floated real good in the water. Mm-hmm. For a little while. And it started sinking. There was just no way in the world that thing, what he needed was fiberglass, and they hadn't invented it yet. It didn't work. So in tears and much regret in his life for having drugged that boat all the long way, he dug a hole and buried it. That was called Lewis's Folly. Well, it was an idea, all right, but it didn't work. You know what? There's religions out there in the world that people, you can carry your sins with you in your life if you want to. Religions will tell you it's okay, your style of life is all right, everything that you're doing that is immoral and sin is okay, you can go ahead and do it. You can get some church someplace to tell you that's all right. But it's like that iron boat that Meriwether Lewis drove with him for all those hundreds of miles, and it didn't make it. Because God has standards in His Word. They are eternal standards. They didn't start. God's marriage is between a man and a woman, and God created it. And He made people that way. And when you twist it and you change it, it's wrong. And God hates it. You're standing against God and saying, you're wrong. You created me wrong. No, what happened is they've created their brain cells wrong. They have made a God out of that and worshipped it instead of God. And there's no excuses for it. Now, 2 and verse 7, since we covered that one. What about Matthew 10 and 15 and 11 23? Did we get that one? Matthew 10 and 15. These are eternal examples for us that God hates sin. Matthew 10, 15, and 11, 23.
Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the lame of Sodom and Gomorrah than the day of judgment than for that city.
All right. Sodom and Gomorrah is constantly brought up. Constantly brought up. Now Jesus is talking about the cities of that were circling Galilee. What does Galilee mean, by the way? Galilee. What does Galilee mean?
Circle.
Circle. That's what Galilee means. It means circle. All the cities that encircled Galilee were the cities that God was pronouncing judgment against. Why did He pronounce judgment against them? Judgment's coming. The judge is coming. Because they would not listen to God's word. God's Son had come into the world, and they would not listen to Him, and they rejected Him. They wanted to kill Him. You know, when you hear the word of God, either you reject God and His word, or you give in, one or the other. Don't fight against God, because if you do, you're a fool. You're like that iron boat. You can drag your sins to hell with you, but you're going to go to hell. It won't float. Okay, 11 and verse 23. Just a little bit further. Who's got that? 11 and 23.
And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You shall descend to Hades. For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day.
All right. Now, God hated the sins in Sodom and Gomorrah. But He said the miracles that He performed in these cities, that they had been performed in Sodom and Gomorrah, God said that those people would have repented. Now, can a homosexual be saved?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he's no longer a homosexual. Can she be saved? Yes, but she'll no longer be that way because God won't let him be that way. God will break your neck. If God can't get you converted, He'll break your neck. Just as simple as that. That's what He does. You're His children then. All right? 2 and verse 7. 1 Peter 2 and verse 7. Kai?
The
Kion?
Lot?
Kata? Pol Numenon, Hito, Thais, Ton, Athaismon, En, Aselgia, Anastrophes, Eros, Erisato. Alright. Here's the guy that we talked about. Lot. If it didn't say so in the New Testament, we would have never known that Lot was saved.
Amen.
Because of his actions. And it says, and Kai Dikion, and righteous Lot. Look at that. Right here. Righteous. What does that mean? In the Old Testament, people were saved the same way they're saved in the New Testament. Did you know that? When you were saved in the Old Testament, your spirit was born again, and that spirit could not sin. The spirit in you could not sin. But your body could definitely sin. And it could make you miserable. Righteous Lot, being oppressed. What part of him is being oppressed? Accusative singular masculine, present participle and passive. Kata and poneo. Alright? He was oppressed. Being oppressed. He was It means pinned down. Why was Lot pinned down? Why did he have such a terrible life?
Sin.
He was oppressed because he loved sin. He wouldn't turn loose of it. And the Spirit of God that lived in him was absolutely oppressed by this.
Did he marry an unbeliever?
Evidently. He didn't make any preparations for anything. And he had two daughters that committed horrible, heinous acts. You can find that. Now. idle lust and conduct of all of those around him, he was snatched out from among it. God give us an example. God, this leaves examples throughout his word of all these things. Genesis 19:16-29. Turn there and read that. Genesis 19:16-29. Who has got that one?
16 through what?
Through 29.
Oh, just revelation.
Bought her sheep.
Not the end.
Deletion. You got, yes. Okay, go ahead. 19:16-29.
When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand in the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out to the city.
Well, go back there about to verse 9 or 10 of that chapter.
Okay. Get out of our way, they replied. And they said, the fellow came here as an alien, and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse than them.
Well, go back to verse 1. The 19th chapter, verse 1. We're going to get a hold of this one.
The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them.
He was a judge, wasn't he?
Right.
All right.
And bowed down with his face to the ground. My lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night, and then go on your way early in the morning. No, they answered, we will spend the night in the square. But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them. Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, no, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof. Get out of our way, they replied, and they said, this fellow came here as an alien, and now he wants to play the judge.
Now, where did Lot come from? The Ur of the Chaldees. Where did he want to go live? Amongst this ungodly mess.
Wow.
Okay, go ahead.
We'll treat you worse than them. They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness so that they could not find the door. The two men said to Lot, do you have anyone else here? Sons-in-law, son or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry of the Lord against its people
now,
is so
great. Now,
hold on
just a little second, young lady. What had happened here? Is these people wanted to commit sins of homosexuality with these angelic messengers because they looked like men and they were strange. They wanted new meat. Well, God stopped it. God struck them blind physically because they were blind spiritually. Okay? And now they're going to escape from this sinful mess. Okay? And then these angels ask Lot, Lot, do you have anybody else that's saved? Anybody in your family at all? Have you been a witness at all here? You've been a judge. Have you done anything right? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city. But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city. For the Lord,
they had to drag them out. They had to drag them out. Is God doing that in your lives? Is he dragging you away from this mess?
I hope not.
Is he dragging you away?
to them. For the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me, and I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." He said to them, "Very well, I will grant this request to you. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it." That is why the town was called Zoar. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt.
There's where the salt in the Dead Sea came from.
Mm-hmm.
All of this, this is a historical account of a real place and a real happening. And it is an example, it's a type of how God hates sin. Okay? This type of sin. He's specifically delineating, drawing out, and indicting his hatred toward this sin. Okay?
Early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived.
God snatched him out, just like in the age that we live in today. God is going to snatch us out of it one of these days and rapture us. Mm-hmm. The same word is used there, by the way. Mm-hmm. The same word, ruel. It means we get our word rapture from it, and it means the mark of the rapture, the claws of the rapture that he leaves on the animals that are snatched up. I lived in Fish Lake Valley one time, and we used to ride about 28 miles from my house to school, and I would ride the bus, and sometimes weird things would happen out there. We had great big golden eagles in that valley, and they sat on this one pile of dirt out there in about the middle of the valley. And one day I saw a golden eagle dive, and he got a great big rabbit, and he took off and started carrying that rabbit up higher and higher in the air. And that rabbit was just screaming, just like, ee, real high-pitched scream, just screaming all the way. And I could hear it through the, you know, even through the noise of the bus and everything, I could hear this rabbit screaming. And he kept taking it higher and higher and higher, snatching it up. That's the word where we get the word raptor from. And by the way, have you ever watched Jurassic Park? The raptors in there? Well, they leave the claw mark. Well, the marks... The word rapture comes right out of this word right here. That's where it comes from, to snatch up, to rescue, to carry away. Yes?
Is it the same word used in Matthew 24:13? But the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved.
I don't think that's the same word at all. I think that's from the word sozo. Save. It's talking about Israel. And Israel, those national Israel, during the tribulation period is for them. The rapture takes place before that. But during the tribulation period, those that will endure to the end of the tribulation period, of course, Israel will be saved. There's going to be 144,000 of them saved. All right. Let's go and look at this verse just a little, 2 and 7. And righteous Lot, being oppressed, downtrodden by the lawless acts. That word athesmo here, it means unchained, uncontrolled behavior. You know that hardened criminals kill jailers every day. Did you know that? Marshals and things, they kill. They're dangerous. These people don't... If they put in the death penalty, they might have something to fear. But most of them are in life in prison. They got five lifetimes, 300, 400, 500 years. So they're not going to get any worse crime laid on them than to stay there forever. So they kill people. They kill each other, and they get mad at some prison guard, and they murder him. And they say, no, that's what's going to happen to him. This is that kind of behavior right here. Unchained, uncontrollable behavior. And then it says, in, and our Greek word in comes from that Greek word in, ostelgia. That means unbridled lust. That means just do whatever you feel like. It said one time, the people of Israel, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That is never right. You don't figure out what's right in your own eyes. You don't figure out what's right. God has a standard, and He has a word that tells you what's right and what's wrong. And then they said that they lived, and they lived these unrestrained, uncontrolled, terrible, lawless behavior and uncontrolled conduct. This unbridled lust. And the word anastrophes, it means they just walked up and down, shaking their fist at the world and at God. That's what it means, to walk up and down and say, look how great I am. How many times have you heard or read stories about people standing, looking up at God and saying, if there's a God in heaven, strike me dead, because I'm saying today there is no God. Well, the same God that gives everybody breath in the world is giving them breath. God could hold it, stop it, just like that, just instantly, and you would no longer breathe. But how many people do that morally? How many people in their lives go on sinning against God's moral boundaries? They do it. They're doing the same thing. Because it's a dangerous place to be. Outside of the will of God. It's a dangerous place to be. Thank you so much for your attention. And as we study God's Word tonight, and you know what? That's God's Word. That wasn't me. That was God's Word. You look at that, and you read it, and it's repeated from Genesis to Revelation. You were back in Revelation. You know what it says about... it says that no dogs are going to heaven. Did you know that? How many of you have seen the movie, All Dogs Go to Heaven? Well, in the book of Revelation, it said no dogs are going to heaven. That's what it said. It's not talking about dogs, people. It's talking about homosexuals. No homosexuals will go to heaven. That's what it said. Because they act like dogs. That's why it calls them dogs. From Genesis to Revelation, there is one standard. And God didn't change His mind. God's standards go from eternity to eternity. Immorality is wrong. Unbridled lust is wrong. All these things are still wrong. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank You for Your Word tonight, and apply it to our hearts. The shortcomings that we have in our lives, help us to follow You. Help us don't be fools. Like the examples, the indignment, the indictments that God has put against the sins that we have in our lives. Help us to follow You. Knock us in the head sometimes and get our attention if you have to. But help us to follow Your pathway. God never, we know, Father, that You never give us anything that's bad for us to do. First of all, when You give us a job, we know that we have the ability to do it. Because with the calling comes the job, comes the ability. And when we're children of God and You call us to be children of God, You know, or we know, that You have given us the ability to shake off the shackles and the chains of these sins that we have that so easily make us fall and stumble. Thank You for Your Word. For it's eternal and powerful, like nothing else. The greatest atomic power that ever man ever saw is the preaching of Your Word and Your Spirit that goes everywhere it is and convicts men of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.